And I want to entitle this morning's message, The Time Is Now to Respond. Amen? In order for us to respond, what God has for our lives, we need to be listening here this morning. Amen? Because we just can't respond anyway. We need to respond to the instructions of the Lord. I want to make 3 points here this morning. I'm going to call them the 3 points of Paul, of the three I ams. The three I ams. Amen? It'll make sense later. Amen? Let's go to the first I am, found in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible reads, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. Have your way here this morning. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 14, I'm going to be speaking on the life of Paul here this morning and what made him successful and what allowed him to respond to the call of God upon his life. Verse 14 reads, I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. As we look at this word obligated in the Greek, it means to owe, to be indebted. I like this meaning. It means to be bound by duty. This is what the word obligated in the Greek means. To owe, to be indebted, to be bound by duty. Here, Paul was obligated to Jesus for all he had done for him. He was bound by duty to answer the call upon his life to serve. Paul knew within his life that God had taken a hold of him with purpose. We need to know here this morning that God has taken a hold of our lives. Even though our background, our past life, was one of sin, nevertheless, the Lord has a purpose within your life for you to fulfill. And here, Paul knew that there was a purpose in his life. When he was saved on the road to Damascus, he had an inner conviction within his life that God just didn't do that just to do it. But he knew there was a purpose in why God saved his life. Here this morning, you need to know that there is a purpose in why God has saved you here this morning. Here, Paul was grateful. He was so grateful that he wanted to serve. He wanted to do something back in return for what the Lord had done for him. He was obligated. He felt he owed the Lord something. He felt indebted to the Lord. He felt bound to duty to serve. He was grateful. I put here, God can do a lot with a grateful person. No matter what your background might have been, what your past life might have been, God can do so much through a man's life, through a woman's life, through a youth member's life that is grateful for being saved this morning. That you know that it wasn't your parents' doing, but that it was God's doing. Why you're saved here this morning. And there should be within each and every one of our lives a purpose and a reason to want to fulfill what God has started within our lives. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible reads, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I ask a question here this morning. How many want to know Christ? A lot of hands going up. We should all want to know Christ. Intimately, personally, know Christ. Here this morning, how many want to know the power of his resurrection here this morning? You should want God's power in your life, God's power to operate through your life. But I ask the final question, how many want to share in Christ's sufferings? No hands went up, no clapping took place, not even an amen. It was going good, wanting to know Christ, wanting to know the power of his resurrection, until we get to the place of fellowship, of sharing in his sufferings. Here's where we run in to a problem. How many suffered while you were sharing in the enemy's sufferings? Amen? We all said amen. All right, everything right now. So the truth is, you know, we know what it is to suffer. We know what it is to run with the enemy, so to speak. But it's funny how we can get saved, want to know Christ, want the power of Christ, but we want nothing to do with anything that deals with suffering. That's the church at large of today. People got no problem in coming to church and leaving and working hard and trying to make their life as comfortable as possible. But here, if we're going to deny self, pick up our cross and follow Christ and truly want to know Christ, We're going to have to share also in his sufferings, especially in the end times that we're living right now. I know Christ is not only, I know to know Christ is not only to experience his power, but to also experience his sufferings. Paul knew that his sufferings were bringing him closer to Christ, to know him. He was so grateful to serve. And where his many sufferings would take place, he not only wanted to know Christ, but he wanted to be like him. And he knew if he was going to know Christ and be like Christ, he was going to have to suffer. So when his suffering times would come, it would bring him closer to Christ to know him. You see, the closer we get to somebody, the better we get to know them. The more time we spend with somebody, the more we get to know that person, if they're a good person or not too good of a person. Paul knew that his sufferings were bringing him closer to Jesus. For his desire was to know Christ. I have a question, or should I say another question here this morning. Are your present sufferings bringing you closer or further from knowing Christ? Are you allowing whatever you might be going through here this Sunday morning to bring you closer to Christ, or is whatever that is taking place currently in your life taking you further from Christ? Remember, the closer you get to somebody, the more you get to know them. The further you get from somebody, the less likable it is that you would get to know that person intimately or very good. Paul's inner obligation to Jesus could not be silenced in preaching the gospel. If there's one thing I've learned over the 20 years, is to keep on preaching, no matter what I'm going through. To keep on loving people, no matter what I'm going through. To still be respectful under my sufferings to people. Still working with you. You see, and that is what the Lord wants from each and every one of our lives here this beautiful Sunday morning. It's one thing to work with people when everything's going right, when everything's going your way. But it's not too easy to work with people when things ain't going your way. That's at the house, with your marriage, with your children. That's here at the church, at the job place. It applies everywhere. How many know it's easier to work with somebody, to help somebody, when everything's good and everything's just flowing? Paul's inner obligation to Jesus could not be silent in preaching the gospel. He knew the gospel was able to save the wise and the foolish. Scripture tells us. The wise and the foolish. And Paul, from past experience, himself experienced being wise. He was very educated. But on the other side of the coin, he also experienced being foolish, bringing persecution to the church of Christ. Paul knew that the gospel of Jesus was able to reach the wise and the foolish. And for you and I here this morning, that's good news. Scripture says that the Lord is able to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So here in the first I am of Paul, he would say, I am obligated. As we go to the second I am, it's found in verse 15. Of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. And scripture reads, that is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. So here we come to find out that Paul said, I am obligated. Amen. The second point of this morning's message, the word reads, I am so eager to preach the gospel. The word eager means an urgency and willingness. Paul, within his life, not only experienced a willingness to serve, but he also was experiencing within his life an urgency that now was the time for him not only to be willing, but knowing that there was an urgency in what the Lord had called them to do. There's times that we're willing to do what the Lord has called us to do, but then we lack an urgency of getting it done. Here, Paul said, I am so eager to preach the gospel. There was an urgency and a willingness within his life to preach the gospel. There was nothing that could keep him from sharing the gospel. Apostle Paul was a bad brother. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, Paul went through some stuff. Verse 23 reads, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Hear Paul talking about sufferings. And there's not a one of us here this morning that can claim that we went through what Paul went through. But I believe a high percentage of every one of us in church this morning can claim that we did all that for the enemy. That for the enemy we did all that, what Paul did for Christ. I'm here to let you know here this morning, if you can suffer for the enemy to be cursed, you can suffer for Christ to be blessed and to bless others. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this Sunday morning. There was nothing that could keep him from sharing the gospel. Within his conviction, he wanted to know Christ better each and every day. And why did Christ take hold of his life? Paul knew that he could not allow his hardships to prevent him from preaching the gospel. To him, it would be like having the cure for the worst disease in history and not sharing it. There's an epidemic right now taking place in our city dealing with heroin and all the other drugs as well. But this epidemic of heroin is spreading from the inner city, entering the suburbs now. And it's just not getting young men and women high. It's killing them. It's something that the city is not having success in stopping. Here this morning, God wants to take all of us from being the problem unto being the answer. The answer lies within each and every one of us in how to come against heroin addiction. We have the answers, and we are merely servants of the Lord that have been empowered by His Word to rise up at such a time as this, to be the answer to these mothers that are losing their children. And I believe with all my heart this morning that God is wanting to use a one-time foolish people to be the answer, not only in the inner city, but in the suburb. Because everywhere we see, there is sin and the work of the enemy taking place. Paul knew that the answer was in the word of the Lord. He knew that the answer, that the word of the Lord was in his life to preach. And he knew that the answer of the word of the Lord, if it could change his life, it could change anybody's life. Amen. Jeremiah 20, verse 8 through 9. Remember, we're in the I am so eager to preach the gospel point right now. The Bible reads, whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Here, if you were to read further up or go back a little bit, God would give a word to the prophet here, Jeremiah, and he would have to go give the report of violence and destruction that was going to come upon the people. And as he would do that, amen, they were wanting to kill him. The word of the Lord was bringing reproach upon his life. Where he got to a place in verse 9 and said, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, he was saying to himself, man, if I stop giving forth in word and prophecy, the word of God, all this reproach will come off my life. You see, there was a time where Saul, which would become Paul, was bringing the persecution. But now that he was the great apostle Paul, he was taking on persecution for preaching the gospel of Jesus. He was eager to preach the gospel. He was willing. There was an urgency within his life. Even though they were trying to kill him from preventing him to spread the good news of the gospel that is able to save not only the wise, but the foolish. Verse 9 reads, I have faced this so many times preaching the truth, where man, so much has come against me for preaching truth. I could see a lot of things coming against me and facing persecution because I'm preaching lies. But to have persecution come from every angle, as Paul did, and even from fellow men that were with him, that's another thing. Here, Jeremiah was caught between a rock and a hard place. He was the prophet of God, and he would bring the brimstone message to the people and what God was going to do to them. Amen? And it would bring persecution upon his life. Nobody liked him because he would give the word of God. He would give the truth of God. And at times, some of you don't like me. Not because I've been lying to you, because I give you the truth. You get your feelings hurt. You see, love is not the only measure that guides people's lives. Correction also guides people from continuing to go the wrong way. But this day and age we live in, nobody likes to be told what time it is. Nobody likes being corrected no more. That's too personal. You get in the flesh real quick because your pastor is reaching out to you and bringing you insight to the calling within your life. It's real hard to correct people nowadays. I don't care how many years they've been saved. Here in verse 9, which is so powerful, He goes on to say he was caught between a rock and a hard place. If he was obedient to the Lord and preaching the word and prophesying to the people what they had coming, they would want to kill him. So then he got a thought in his mind, you know what? I'm just not going to do that no more. But he said in that in verse 9, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, and the word goes on to say he had a thought to giving up because of the persecution coming upon his life, the sufferings for being the man of God and carrying forth the truth of God. He goes on to say, his word is in my heart. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. And he goes on to say, I am weary of holding it in. I am weary of holding it in. My point for that is, I put here, I believe a lot of our problems arise when we hold in the word of the Lord that should be preached. When we hold in from fulfilling our purpose because of this excuse, this excuse, this excuse, this excuse, and the excuses continue, and you've been silenced by the enemy, and you're feeling weary here this morning. You're almost feeling like it's the church's fault. You're feeling like it's the pastor's fault. But the true reason why you're weary within is because the word of the Lord's in you and it's been called to be preached through you. If you keep it within you and you do not move upon the call of God upon your life, you will become a weary Christian. How many been holding back here this morning? See, I've been wanting to tell a few of this to you all on the side, but I said they'll get bent out of shape, so I'm going to say it from behind the pulpit. There's more than one way to skin a cat. He knew he had the word. It was in his heart. It was all the way in his bones. He knew he had the word. He was weary about continuing doing the Jesus thing or not. The Old Testament, doing the God thing, amen? Or not doing it. He was caught in the middle in the struggle. He was trying to wait out. But he says, man, I'm growing weary of holding it in. What was he talking about? Holding in God's word, God's purpose for his life. He knew he was supposed to unleash the word of God, whether it was going to bring good news or bad news upon the people. But he said, indeed, I cannot. I believe a lot of times our problems arise when we hold in the word of the Lord that should be preached. Not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. Too many times we allow hard times to silence us from speaking the word of Jesus. I believe some are weary here this day from keeping Jesus within their life instead of sharing him in a time of great need in the city. Let's go to the third I am of Paul. Be finishing up in the importance of his word and why Jeremiah was caught between a rock and a hard place. Continue to be persecuted or stop giving the word of the Lord, but he couldn't do it. At the end, he knew he had to give the word. The third I am is found in Romans 1:16. And the word of the Lord reads, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Paul would go on to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Even though it would ridicule him, even though they would insult him and do all these things to him, he still remained faithful in the preaching of the gospel. The word power, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone. The word power in the Greek means might, energy, force, and strength that is within God. I put here, the way God has chosen to use his power is through the preaching of his word. God could have used his power from heaven. He could have struck us all dead. He could have used his power many ways. But here this morning, what might be bringing correction to some is the power of God. The way God has chosen to use his power is through his word. God has sent his power, which is his word, to bring salvation to all. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to use God's word. It has power. It's the way he shares his power is through his word. You feeling weary? You feeling weak? Start speaking the word of the Lord, which is the power of God. The power of God that will come to your life, through your life. That's why it's so important for us to use God's word in and out of season, because it has power, not only for others, but for us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the day salvation, for the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The hope of the world, the hope of Milwaukee, is God's salvation that saves through his word. How does God bring his power? Through his word. How does God save? Through his word. God saves all who believe, Scripture tells us. Belief is one of the conditions for salvation. You need to believe. The Bible says that God, for the salvation of everyone who believes. Belief is one of the conditions to receive salvation. But we must also remember that a person who really believes commits himself to what he believes. If we truly believe in the Lord, and you're truly saved here this day, you will commit to the gospel of Jesus in your life. There's many that believe in God, but don't commit their lives to the Lord. There's no evidence that they're saved. Because when I got saved from being a full-blown heroin addict, within the first service I went to, there was an evidence that God was doing something in my life. How did it take place? I was just sitting in the back row of the church, and the preaching of the gospel, which was the power of God, fell upon my life straight out of prison. And it would start to go and change my life. The power of God. He chose to love me regardless of my background. The last thing I thought that day, down that first Sunday, that I went to Victor Roberts there in Salinas, California, the preaching would start and something would be taking place in my heart. In my life, I couldn't put my finger on it, but it was the preaching of the gospel where the power of God was falling upon my life, where it was bringing a hope and a faith that I could change, that I didn't have to remain the same, that I didn't have to go back to prison for the third time, because the power of God was at work through the preaching of God. We need to know here this morning, if there's an area that the enemy's trying to stop in your life, it's the Word of God. Why? Because it's the power of God. See, when the enemy's able to take the power of God out of your life, then once again, you're defeated. But when you got the Word of the Lord in your life, what you're really saying is, I got the power of God in my life. When you're giving the Word to somebody, you're able to say, the power of God is going from my life to your life right now. Claim it right now in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. But you're going to have to respond. You're going to have to respond. You're going to have to become a committed servant of the Lord, a committed end-time disciple of the Lord. It calls for commitment. It calls for duty. Here this morning, the power of God is coming forth right now. I'm just a vessel that He is using to unleash His Word here this morning, that I know, just like Paul knew, is able to change anybody's life if you commit to it. When I was running with the enemy, I committed to the enemy 24/7 servanthood. And now that I've been saved by the power of the Word of the Lord, I have salvation. I'm going to commit myself 24/7 to Jesus to preach the gospel no matter what comes my way. I will not be silent or ashamed of the gospel. Right now, there's power going forth for your situation. There's excuses right now are flying out of you right now, one after another, because the power of God is able to do all things, not some things, but all things. But you're going to have to commit to the Word. You're going to have to submit to the Word. You're going to have to deny self. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. You're going to have to go beyond just wanting to experience who He is. You're going to have to go beyond just experiencing the power of God. You're going to have to go on and be able to experience the sufferings of Christ. Not many churches would be preaching this message on a Sunday morning. The gospel is God's power, and it can reach any nationality and any person, no matter what you've done. If anybody knew this truth, it was Paul. And that's why Paul was able to say in Romans 1:14, I am obligated. And that's why Paul was able to say in verse 15, I am eager. And that's why Paul was able to say in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because he knew it had the power to change anybody's life, whether wise or foolish. Paul knew being obligated to Jesus would eventually one day call for his life unto death. He wanted to know Christ. And he knew if he was going to experience Christ to the fullest and know who Christ was, that the full revelation of knowing Christ would come in his death. Paul was grateful. He was grateful. And I believe here this morning, we have a grateful people that have been there and done that. And can claim and say here this morning that the power of God is at work within my life. And I'm going to continue to commit to it. Even if persecution comes for me doing what is right, I will not be silenced for preaching the truth. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. As we stand this beautiful Sunday morning, great things are taking place right now. In our ministry, we're known for our loyalty, for our commitment. The Bible says, he who has been forgiven much must now loveth much. Today, we hold the answer, the power. And that is the word of Jesus, the life of Jesus within our lives that can change any walk of life, any side of town, any color of skin. His name is Jesus, and he is the word of God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, whatever the song may be, whatever the song may be, I'm going to open up the altars here this morning.